Okay, good, excellent. Our next presenter is Britt Rios Ellis. I have an incredibly long bio, and so what I'll just try to do this very, very, very quickly with her permission. Britt Rios Ellis is a professor at California State University at Long Beach and director of the NCLR/CSULB Center for Latino Community Health Evaluation and Leadership Training. Since founding the center in 2005, Dr. Rios Ellis has raised over $20 million directed towards student and community strengthening research projects. I don't think I have to say another word more about that. That's an incredible accomplishment. So if you would, please, Dr. Ellis, please come forth.
So firstly, I want to just acknowledge everyone who's on that slide, Mara Bird, Mayra Rascón, Malawi Garcia, Carol Canjura, and Angelica Mondragon, as well as Gino Galvez, who helped me so much, who's in the audience right there, working on this project and many others. So I have nothing to disclose, but and I'm going to talk about the REAMI project, and I'm also going to talk about it in the larger context of the center. So before I even start, we have the Center for Latino Community Health Evaluation and Leadership Training, and we just launched literally a week ago now another center called Centro Saludes Cultura. So we use a very cultural capitally based model on Latino health, and we're also working with an HBCU group to really incorporate African American health as well. So I'll talk about that as we move along. But what this grant is funded by the National Institute on Minority Health and Health Disparities. So the mechanism is really designed to build, strengthen, and enhance the research infrastructure and research training capacity of minority-serving institutions. So what we know is that in coming into a university that doesn't have a doctoral program, so we're 4 to 6 years, we're a very large institution. So our minority base, our underrepresented minority base, is very, very large. And we're an interesting institution because we're also an Asian Pacific Islander serving institution, which NIH is now redefining because some Asian Pacific Islanders are overrepresented while others are not. And it's how that's going to play out is going to be very interesting. We have the second largest Cambodian population outside of Cambodia, but we don't measure Cambodian students in our state data yet, so we can't discern whether someone is Cambodian or not. So there's a lot of room for growth in redefining what this URM, or underrepresented minority, means. But what we know is that they're woefully underrepresented in terms of the biomedical, behavioral, and science fields. We also know that 6% of scientific doctoral degrees are awarded to URM students, compared with 74% of non-URM students. So this is something that we're really trying to get to at the center, not only in biomedical, but also working with STEM paths and how to create things that aren't siloed into specific colleges. And we also know that we have underrepresented minority students, whereas a lot of the R1s just don't have them. So if you're looking at UCLA in Los Angeles, they probably have, I think, at any time 8 to 9% Latinos in a population that is probably 48% Latino right now. So woefully underrepresented at the R1 institutions. So we're the second largest campus of the largest university system in the world. So we're very large. When I went there 19, 20 years ago now, we were at 24,000 students. Now we're over 36,000 students. We receive, I think this year we topped 80,000 applications. So it's one of the highest more than any other that record, where I think we're sixth. The only two that are ahead of us in California are Berkeley and UCLA. So there's a real demand. Our acceptance rates now are down to 34%, which it's supposed to be a state school, right? Not so. Again, how are we, as we create these pathways, how are we ensuring that we're not so impacting ourselves that we're going to leave out the URMs that we're supposed to be this chance? So at Long Beach, we have a college promise, which is wonderful. So anyone who comes to college, who goes to high school in Long Beach, can be accepted at the state school if they meet minimum requirements. So there's a certain amount that we're supposed to promise, but again, with a 34% acceptance rate, things are changing quickly. We're 38.5% Latino undergraduates, so we are a Hispanic-serving institution since 2005, and I've been very involved in all of the programs that have created that mechanism. We are growing, our Latino population is growing at 1 to 1.5% a year, so very soon we'll be over 50%. And we know that that's growing because of fertility, not because of immigration. We're 9th in the nation conferring baccalaureate degrees to minority students, and I think we're 8th in terms of Latino students. The REMI project was awarded in 2009, and it really was to create this pipeline. So how are we going to create this pipeline in behavioral biomedical sciences up to the doctorate? So we have four cores, and I'm in charge of the academic enrichment programs, or what we call the student core. So the goal is to support racial and ethnic minority students to become skilled researchers. And what we think we can offer that is very different than an R1 is we can offer a community experience so that is very different than the R1 institutions. So we ground our work in community-based participatory research. So we have a core of promotores, or community health workers, that work alongside our students. So all of our research is very, very community-based in everything we do. So on that element, we hear a lot of dialogue at the state institutions. We don't want to become an R1, our goal is teaching. You know, or we want to become an R1 and we've got to make teaching. And there's kind of this dichotomous argument that goes on and on. And I think what we can really provide to the research world is this community-based participatory research approach, because our folks have the cultural capital and we can combine them with community health workers and really create that essence, which is very unique. So we provide mentorship training and research experience to graduate students, and they have a 20-hour part-time research experience with us. We also increase their research, and I hate the word health disparities. I want to say health equity, but it is, since it's framed as health disparities, that's the way it is. But we want to kind of be about what we want as opposed to what we don't want, and look more at an asset model. And we're trying to create folks who are going to go into the doctoral program. And that oftentimes for folks who are starting their master's degree, if you ask them, do you want to go on to a doctorate, a lot of URM students will say, well, I don't know. And it's just because they have never been exposed to that environment. So how can we take those I don't knows, I'm not sure, and create that mechanism so they're very, very sure, right? And basically, that's getting them involved in research. Once that spark goes on, they are very interested in continuing. So this is Beatrice, I'm forgetting her name. Oh my gosh, she's now at Howard. But Beatrice is at the top. She's applying right now for her doctoral degree at UCI, USC, and UCLA. So I have some letters of recommendation to write. So they're minority students enrolled in the CSULB master's program. Good academic standing, multiple disciplines accepted. So we go across the board. Brittany. She's close to my name. I'm thinking, why can't I remember that name? Brittany. So she's now on a full scholarship at Howard in medical school. So these are two of our very strong success stories. So they have to have an interest in health equity research. They have to have some past work or volunteer experience. They have to have some experience with ethnically diverse populations. They want to pursue a terminal degree. And again, sometimes we have to shape that. And we choose cohorts of 3 to 5 students on an annual basis. So these are some other examples of some of our students. We take Masters of Public Health, Master of Science, Psychology, Master of Social Work. We've had a Master of Art in Counseling. We've had Gerontology, Applied Statistics, Crim Justice. Crim Justice is now, the guy in the second one over is now in England doing his doctoral degree, fully funded, I think at about 40,000 euros a year. Even his travel is funded. So there's all kinds of mechanisms that we're creating as we build those pipelines. And also in political science, looking at health policy. We have had a mix of folks. So we have taken a few Anglo folks who are really interested in first-generation educated who are really interested in health. We've also had African immigrants. And a lot of in L.A., we have a lot of mixed Salvadoran, Guatemalan, Mexican, Puerto Rican, et cetera, et cetera. When we look at language, 58% of the population is speaking Spanish. So again, when we look at cultural capital, these are skills that they can bring directly to the research environment, because what we're really trying to do is to create the ideal doctoral student, because we know now, especially in California, for them to get accepted in the California school is literally harder than getting into Hopkins and Harvard. The application rate is so high, and it's very, very difficult. So we want to make sure that we're creating the ideal researchers, folks who can match, their skill sets can match the doctoral granting professor, so they can then advocate for these students. We also had French, we had Khmer and Igbo from Nigeria. So they, one of the things that they have to do is enroll in a health disparities graduate course, which we developed, attend bi-monthly research skills trainings, they present research in at least one scholarly forum, and they attend at least one national conference. We try to get them to go to two and present at both, but sometimes that doesn't happen. We really want them to build their CVs, attend research seminars on health disparities, and work as a research assistant. In the health disparities course, we really use a structural environmental model to look at health disparities or why we don't have health equity. In terms of exposure, we look at all kinds of interventions. We look at what we're doing from cultural, geographic, historic, political, socioeconomic factors, and how those have resulted in health disparities that we are trying to ameliorate. So these are some of the topics, and these are growing all the time. So, of course, they do the IRB training right away. Then we have quantitative analysis 1 and 2 in addition to statistics courses that they're already taking. Qualitative analysis, because so much of what we do, and Gino now works with that, and so much of what we do is contextual. If they can't paint the context of underserved communities, there's no way they're going to be able to explain that with quantitative data. We train them in focus groups, motivational interviewing, community-based participatory research, and how to work hand-in-hand with community health workers, which we think are the essence of how we make sense to community. They look at poster development, they do presentation development, manuscripts, doctoral application overview and presentation. We really advocate for our students to go into summer doctoral training programs like Exito at UT San Antonio and those programs so that they're very prepared when they apply. So we do a lot with conference presentations. This year I'm taking 15 students, actually next week, Sunday night, I'm flying out to the National Health Disparities Conference in the Virgin Islands. So every year we take a group. One year, I think Craig was with us when we took pictures with Kathleen Sebelius, right? So we really try to expose them, and I sit on the planning committee for that conference. Next year it's going to be in Long Beach. Watch out in November. Because we really want to make sure. And that has enabled us, too, because it's an HBCU conference, to begin to create this relationship between an HSI and HBCU so that we're sitting, and we have a lot of African-American and Latino students and other students sitting at the table looking at health disparities and recognizing how much they have in common in terms of communities. The approach might be slightly different, but there's so much there that they could work on collaboratively. So these are some of the sample conference. We also, through another grant we have through NIMHD, the Hispanic Health Opportunities Learning Alliance, hold a Latino Health Equity Conference every year in April. That conference, we projected 75 participants. We had 475 registered last time. So the conference and it was only our second conference. So by this year, we think we're going to be out of the university. There won't be a physical space in the university to hold all the people that are coming. So they also provide research seminars, and we're very lucky because we're right by UCLA, we're right by UCSD, we can fly folks in, we've got a little bit of travel budget, so we've brought in Lourdes Baiscan de Carbonati, who does incredible work with community health workers and social media around cervical cancer. She's just done a new film, outstanding results. Marjorie Kagawa Singer from UCLA, looking at culture and how it's operationalized in research. April Thames, looking at ethnic and racial disparities in HIV/AIDS. So when students come into the REMI program, they can opt to be at the Center for Health Equity Research, our center, which is Latino-focused, or CBRS, the Center for Behavioral Research Studies. And they can also have temporary assignments. So as some of the faculty members in REMI are requesting additional research assistance, they can fill out a form and get student help, 10 to 15 hours of student help to help them along. So they do all kinds of things, as I said before, we really try to involve them as much as we can in our publications and presentations. They also participate in translation and transcreation as well of multilingual research instruments and program content. So in terms of their reflections, because I think their words speak much louder and much better than mine would, so they found it to be very useful to have a solid base of knowledge about health disparities. So this course, they were talking about the health disparities course, opened my eyes to minority health and health disparities. Key assignments linked knowledge with context and their own lives. So I asked them to do a photo voice assignment. And the photo voice presentation was very powerful and showed me how visible health disparities are in daily life. So to literally look with that different lens and that more critical lens at what results in health disparities, they come up with incredible things. They find pockets of homeless populations. They look at sidewalks and how they're broken up in some communities and they're not in others. They look at, of course, we have a problem with smog in LA. They look at that. And every single time, the lens is just so unique. They do an annotated bibliography in terms of literature, so they start to really crunch a lot of literature and see how that looks and how that would add to a manuscript. So through this assignment, I found key articles for my thesis. So we want them to go on. And traditionally, we've been a university that doesn't advocate that much for theses. So a lot of people do comprehensive exams. We're really trying to turn that around to make sure that they go through and do their thesis. So most helpful research skills training, varied widely and was influenced by their previous skills and knowledge, their personal research interests, their disciplines, and we want that cross-collaborative. So we want a political scientist working with a health educator, working with a social worker. So we found that gels because they learn from each other a lot more. And one of the scholars who went on said, you can't teach passion, but you can teach skill. So they felt, and they said, Remy transformed my CV considerably. So 100% of participants found that the conferences were very useful. I was extremely nervous to present a poster, but Remy helped me build confidence to share my research. And last year we took both first and second place at the National Health Disparities Conference. So we were really thrilled with that. I also want to thank Remy for going above and beyond to help me with my IRB and conference abstracts and for helping me to develop SPSS and evaluation skills. Remy has influenced my future goals by giving me experience in assisting with projects and exposing me to qualitative research methods. I've learned and developed many skills that I will definitely use in my profession as a health professional and researcher, so they start to see themselves there. So again, the issue about how they can link social justice with health, you can see that reflected in the first quote. And then we've had over 50% admission right away into PhD programs, so these are some of the places people are right now. One student, as I said, was attending medical school. 23% of our graduates are currently involved in health care related employment addressing health equity. And we've seen that Remy again has reinforced the need for thesis options and for people moving forward. So our academic enrichment training programs are successful to motivate professionals to pursue health disparities work, and multidisciplinary cohorts are really helpful to consider health disparities regardless of their disciplines. I wanted to say really briefly that all of this exists within the context of all of these grants which are part of the center. So we have the CSULB HSI STEM funded by the U.S. Department of Education that creates high-achieving Latino peers. We call them promotores de STEM to work with students who aren't doing so well in the STEM disciplines because we know we have a very leaky pipeline. We have the Hispanic Health Opportunities Learning Alliance funded by NIMHD. That's the one that I talked to you about in terms of mentorship and also the large conference. We have transdisciplinary education and training to prevent Latino childhood obesity, which is funded by USDA, and that's the Sanos y Fuertes project. And then we have the Remy Student Corps, and thankfully we just were the only university in California to be awarded the build planning grant from NIMHD that would convert it would create a very strong pipeline into the doctoral programs, and we're calling it AHORA, the Alliance for Health Opportunities Research Advancement. This is our cultural capital model. I know I have probably 1 minute left, and this is my very last slide, and it's the richest, I think. But I have 2 minutes left, thank you. So this is the model that we really try to build everything from, and we're trying to really look at cultural values within Latino students and what could be there. So really, it's a wraparound model. So we look at things like presentismo, comunitarismo, looking at community, looking at the need for harmony, respect, trust, confianza, resilience, personalismo, the importance of personal relationships and how that works, and familismo, the importance of family. So we do a lot for example, doing a bienvenida for our STEM parents. So we invite our parents, it's completely in Spanish, and we get the parents on campus first. Because what we see again and again in going to Chicano Latino graduation is a lot of parents have never stepped on the campus until the graduation day. So at that time, they might be crying and really thrilled and bien orgulloso, very proud of what their students are doing. But before that, maybe the support systems weren't as strong as they could have been. You know, maybe there wasn't a quiet space for the student in the family. And we know that a lot of our students still live at home. And how can they reinforce all of that, right, from the get-go, right? So those are the things, but we also really want to value cultural values because we know that these are the things that help Latino students and other groups of immigrant students stay in school. And then we have promotores who work around. So whether they're community promotores or whether they're student promotores, they work together. So these are folks who have all of these characteristics. They're independent, they're connected to services, they're leaders, mentors, they have high GPAs, they're all first generation educated. So we want people who could really speak to what was it like for me to be the first one in my family to attend university. And then the promotores provide all of these different things. And now we've found that our community promotores are also learning to navigate and help students through those as well because they're so familiar with our environment as university employees. And then we look at this cultural capital and how folks navigate through an environment that isn't necessarily, because I don't think we've looked enough at the university. We just assume that we are culturally relevant because it's a university culture, and we're not really that relevant. So we want students thinking, how can my cultural values weave into this environment? How am I relevant and important in terms of creating this new university? And we think that's what this model is doing on every single level. Our community-based research, we have 95 to 100% follow-up at 3 to 6 months. So people come back because they make compromisos or commitments to the promotores. We're seeing the same effect with our student-based promotores. Folks stay in the program and they do better. And we've seen statistically significant increases in GPAs that are off the board. So am I? 1 minute, okay. So, you know, and that for us is very exciting because we've seen within the university, we often look at first-generation educated Latino students and we think, oh, it's the pobrecito, it's the poor thing, but he made it. Isn't that good, right? So at best, we're kind of this white liberal, if I can say that, oh, you poor thing, right? As opposed to looking at all of these cultural values and what's there. How can we use that to reinforce the experience and create a new environment that is culturally relevant within the university setting? And that's exactly what we've seen. So in very, very difficult disciplines. So I think that's it.